Chapter 37. Ferrin. Ferrin felt a prick on the side of his forearm, bringing him fully awake. He lay there for a moment, trying to decide if what he had felt was real or just another dream from one of his occasional bouts of half-sleep. The cold wind blowing in from the one lonely arrow slit above kept the room in a state that left him with a constant shudder, muscles tight and teeth chattering. The eerie howling it produced as it wafted through the stone's slender opening was the only noise provided for lulling him to sleep. Rather ineffective. He felt it again. This time, the sharp pain was more than a simple prick. Spinning around with the opposite hand, he smacked at the source like he would at a blood gnat, trying to fill its belly on his vital fluids. However, instead of a squishing sound, there was a squeal as his hand wrapped around a large rat. It had apparently decided that Ferrin was more appealing than the bucket of dung sitting in the far corner of their cell. He could hardly fault its logic. Grabbing the head with his other hand, he snapped its neck and then threw the creature into the corner. He listened as the clanging noise of the pail let him know he had hit the mark. He smiled, reflecting on how one could find humor in the simplest of things.
"I see you finally caught our little friend," Azrael said from his side of the room.
His chains clanged against the stone floor as he struggled to lift himself into a sitting position. Ferrin wiped his red hair from his face.
"Yes, unfortunately for him, he mistook my arm for a serving tray."
"Oh, I guess he finally realized what little meat covers my bones was too tough to chew, and decided to move on to greener pastures."
Azrael's laugh turned into a fit of coughing. Ferrin made his way across the room to see if there was anything he could do to help the old seer, but Azrael waved him off with a couple flaps of his gaunt wrist.
"Don't you worry yourself over me. I'm too ordinary to die."
The old man smiled as his coughing abated. Ferrin grunted.
"Now that I can believe."
He turned back around and sat in his prickly bed of tuft straw, the only place on the cold stone that helped to ease the discomfort, and not by much. Ferrin watched the old man shift his weight, trying to find a more relaxed position. His back was against the wall, and his legs stretched out in front.
"You never did tell me why they keep you chained like that."
Azrael's hand lifted on instinct to rub at the thick manacle around his neck.
"Because they fear me. I'm a powerful sorcerer, after all."
Ferrin's breath caught in his throat.
"Really?"
"No. What's wrong with you? Do you think I'd still be sitting here if I was?"
Azrael shook his head with a look of pity.
"I thought you had a brain in that thick skull of yours."
No one had a talent quite like Azrael de Torsa for making Ferrin feel like an ignorant schoolboy.
"They have me chained because not long after they brought me here, I managed to escape."
Ferrin's head snapped to attention. He tried to say something, but nothing came out.
"What's wrong with you, boy? You look like you just sucked a bad egg."
"You escaped? How did you do it? How did you get around the guards? How did you find a way out? For that matter, how did you get your hands on a transferal?"
"All right, slow down. One at a time. This old mind doesn't run as fast as it used to."
Azrael paused to take a breath.
"First of all, I'm a seer. I see things."
"What do you mean you see things?"
Azrael rolled his eyes.
Think, boy, use your noggin. What did I just tell you? I'm a seer. I see things. I see past things. I see present things. I see future things. Actually, I guess the future things are more like possibilities than actualities, but that's a whole other topic. We'll save that for another time.
Azrael looked at Farron.
I can see by that glazed-over look in your eyes you have no idea what I'm talking about. Am I right?
Farron nodded.
Good. I'd be afraid if you did. You're not a seer, after all. Unless there's something you haven't told me.
Azrael stared at him with a questionable look in his eye.
No, I didn't think so. As I was saying, I see things, things no one else can see. Like when they are going to send only a single guard to escort me to the Chamber of Inquisition. Like when he would be startled by a rat on his foot and turn his back to me. Like which corridors and stairwells to take, and at what times to elude the next guard on watch. I could see it with such clarity, I could have done it with my eyes closed.
Not to state the obvious, but, Farron pointed out, why are you still here, then?
Well, no one's perfect. Although, I like to think that some of us are a bit closer than others.
He offered Farron a quirky sort of smile.
Anyway, once I reached the outside, I figured I was in the clear and didn't need to keep relying on my inner sight.
Azrael shook his head.
Boy, was that a mistake I lived to regret. I hadn't made it halfway to the stables when a guard with a sudden bout of indigestion spotted me on his way to the privy. Imagine that,
the old man balked.
All the work, and I was caught on account of a poorly made mince stew.
Azrael threw his shackled hands in the air.
Now you can't tell me that wasn't some kind of higher providence or something. The Creator had a good laugh that day at my expense.
Farron was astonished. This crazy old man had managed to actually breach the outer walls of the White Tower. No one had ever gotten so far before.
Well, my boy, are you going to say something? A moment ago I couldn't get you to shut up.
How did you get your hands on a transferal?
Now that's a good question.
Azrael acknowledged with a raised finger.
And I guess the easiest answer is, I didn't.
Now Farron was confused.
What do you mean you didn't?
I mean I didn't have to. My gift is innate. I don't need a fairy rock to initiate it.
Fairy rock?
Yes, fairy rock. Those little shards of crystal that give you access to your ability.
Azrael smiled sadly and shook his head when he saw Farron's expression.
Oh, boy,
he grunted, and then slapped his forehead.
You mean to tell me you've never heard the term fairy crystal before?
Once again, Farron had to shake his head no. He was beginning to understand how in the dark he truly was. Farron had never been one to go for all that deep-thinking drivel. He had never cared how the world worked, or what was the purpose to life, or if there was some higher plan or destiny for him. He figured if there was a creator, he'd just leave it to him.
Where did you think your magic came from? It came from the Fae, when they busted through to our realm thousands of years ago.
Azrael pursed his lips in thought.
Not exactly sure if that was a blessing or a curse.
He scratched at his thinning scalp.
You got to remember, our world had never seen magic before. To us, it all looked like something from the divine.
He paused to think.
Which, to be honest, I guess it was, since everything is created by him. Anyway, some of the early fairies were happy to share their knowledge with us. Others, not so much. Evidently, everything about their realm is based on magic, and the transferals, as we call them, are pieces of their realm brought over to help aid us in our use of magic.
So, my gift with metallurgy isn't me, it's just a piece of rock?
Well, no, it's mostly you,
Azrael said, rubbing his hands down his long, disheveled beard.
Once magic had been introduced to our realm, it started to seep into things, living things. We were no exception. Pretty soon, we started noticing changes. Much like the Fae, there were humans who were being born with special abilities as well, magic rivaling their own. This brought about a conflict which gave rise to the First Wizard Order. Like everything in life, you have good and evil. Many of the fairies were content with keeping the status quo and holding to the peace. But there were some who looked at us as you would a family pet or a plough horse, and believed they should be able to rule over us, which they did for a while, until the rebellion. And with the help of some of our fairy allies, the Wizard Order drove the rest of them out and resealed the breach.
And how is it you know all of this?
Azrael smiled.
I keep my ears open.
Ferrin wondered if there was supposed to be some kind of deeper meaning behind that.
Anyway, what was I talking about?
Azrael scratched the top of his head once again.
Oh, right. You asked about your ability as a metallurgist. Let's see if I can explain this in a way that makes sense.
He took a deep breath as he pondered what to say. Ferrin beat him to the punch.
How do people know they have magic?
Azrael raised his head.
Ah, now that's a good question, and I guess a good place as any to start. Those born as Vinay are born with a single gift.
Azrael raised his hand to point in Ferrin's direction.
You, for example, were born with the ability to manipulate metal ore. But even before you had ever come in contact with a transferal, I bet you could sniff out metal like a basset hound to a fox. Most people have no idea they have magic at first, since what they feel is something they've had since birth and don't know any better. Those born with a certain gift are able to sense that gift, but not manipulate it. Right now, you can probably tell me where every piece of metal in this room is, the type, consistency, and probably age. But,
he said, raising a finger,
you can't manipulate it. You could stick a voda in the middle of the Wingabi Desert, and they could point out precisely where the water is under the sand, but they couldn't bring it up.
Azrael's brow lowered over his eyes.
Does that make sense?
Ferrin nodded.
I've never had anyone explain it to me before.
Well, not to be too confusing, but there are a few individuals, like myself, who are born with what we call innate abilities. We don't need the use of a transferal for our gifts to work. Our magic is solely self-contained.
Azrael sighed.
Now understand, I'm not saying that my magic is more powerful. It just isn't hindered by a dependency on the crystals. And before you ask, I have no idea how or why that works. There are also different forms of magic. For example, there are runes and incantations. There are all forms of magic that can be learned.
So anyone can do magic, then?
No. Only those with an aptitude for it. You have a propensity for metallurgy, so, given the right amount of time and study, you could eventually learn other forms and variations of magic as well. The difference, though, is that those with an aptitude for a certain gift will have a stronger control over that gift than those who merely learn to manipulate it through runes and incantations. For example, you could learn to control fire, but you would never be able to employ it the way a true Incindi could, with the use of a transferal. Also, I don't know this for sure, mind you, having never been able to test it myself, but I believe there is a correlation between the amount of power one can wield and the size of the crystal. But, like I said, I don't know that for sure. Either way, this learning of other magical forms is how wizards were made in the old days. There were great schools of wizardry where the Vanae could go to learn, but the Great Purge put an end to them centuries ago.
Theron didn't say anything. He just sat in silence, absorbing everything he was being told. There was so much he didn't know. He wondered if his whole attitude of blissful ignorance was something that might have been better described as complete stupidity. After all, he was here because of these strange gifts. Would it be so bad to understand more about what they were and where they came from?
What are you ogling at, son? I know I'm not the prettiest thing to look at, but I'm a far sight better than you.
Oh, sorry.
Perrin shifted his gaze to his lap. He hadn't realized he had been staring. His thoughts had drifted to the question of why the Inquisitors seemed to have singled him out, kept him alive, while so many others that had come in with him on the wagon had been taken for purging, at least those who survived the torture. What made him so different?
I was just thinking, he said finally.
Independent thought.
Azrael's emerald eyes brightened with sarcasm.
A rather dangerous pastime, to be sure. It can lead a man into all kinds of trouble. Take me, for example. I thought I should use my gift to help others. Now look at me.
He raised his iron-bound arms into the air.
I'm chained to a dungeon wall with nothing more than a dead rat and you to keep me company. And don't ask me which is worse.
He coughed out another laugh. Theron smiled at Azrael's tenacity. Over the last couple of weeks, he found himself growing rather fond of the old man. Perrin only hoped he could bear his time in the tower with as much dignity as this withered old seer had.
If only I could get my hands on one of those crystals.
Azrael's head leaned back against the stone wall, watching him with a gaze intense enough to be staring straight into his soul.
Oh? And what would you do with the crystal if you had it? Unlock my chains, rip open the door,
Storm the castle?
He cackled.
What's so funny? Do you even know where you are?
Where I am?
What kind of stupid question is that? Of course I know where I am. I'm locked in the White Tower with nothing but a dead rat and you to keep me company, and I can tell you which is worse.
Azrael laughed. But do you know where in the tower you are? I'm sure that once you manage to get beyond that door, you have an escape route planned. Of course you know where the guards are, what their rotation is, how many on and off duty, where to find supplies, clothing, and transportation to get you beyond the Pass of Arnon. For that matter, do you even know where the front door is?
Theron was feeling quite the tail end of a donkey at this point. He hadn't given it much thought beyond breaking free of his cell.
Okay, I get your point.
He scratched at his thick red beard. I really do need to start using my head more. Of course, he'd never admit that in front of the old man.
As I was saying, thinking can lead to trouble, my dear Theron. However, if those thoughts are nurtured, cultivated, and well planned, they could lead to great accomplishments. Every amazing achievement man has wrought began as a single idea. Independent thought is what differentiates us from the animals. Unfortunately, our thoughts can be self-centered as well. They can betray us, manipulate us, and turn us away from the Creator's path. We are covetous creatures, after all. Just remember, every form of evil we find in our world started as a single thought as well.
The old man shook his head.
Listen to me, preaching again. I'm probably the last person who has that right.
Theron lifted his head.
No, you're right. There is wisdom in what you say. I've always been one to act with little thought to the outcome, as evident by me being here in the first place. Unlike you, I decided to use my gift, not so much for the betterment of others, but for the betterment of myself. I realized that with my ability, I could create weapons that were lighter, stronger, and more durable than my competition. My reputation grew, and so did my head. Once I started to see the gold coming in, and the recognition from important people for my work, I couldn't stop. In fact, he admitted with a slight grunt, it was my crowning achievement of being contracted by the High King himself for a pair of swords that landed me on the tower's watch list in the first place. He shrugged. And the rest is history. I lost my home, my gold, my business, and will probably lose my life. All because, as you say, I didn't stop to think.
Well, we wouldn't be human if we didn't make mistakes, my boy. Thankfully, the Creator can take our lapses in judgment and use them for something good.
Theron took a deep breath.
I'll be honest.
That's a wise choice,
Azrael butted in with a smile.
It's always good to be honest.
Theron ignored the old man's attempt at humor and continued.
Right now, I'm having a hard time seeing what that could be.
Theron watched the seer's snowy white head lower in thought. A moment later, it lifted, a hint of amusement flashing across his childlike eyes.
Well, just think. If you hadn't been so selfish, and went and got yourself caught by the Black Watch, and imprisoned in this stinking cesspool of refuse, only to await a slow and excruciating death, you would never have had the great privilege of meeting me.
Azrael's smile was so pitifully sincere that Farron immediately laughed, which, in turn, brought on a spell of hilarity from the seer, ending in a fit of coughing, gagging, and eventually hiccups, which in turn brought on even more laughter. Farron continued chuckling as he rolled over on his back and waited for the guards to bring in their supper. He was daunted by how little he knew about himself, why he was able to do the things he could, why the White Tower was so eager to have his gifts. He wondered if it was luck or something else that had landed him in the same cell as this crazy old seer. Either way, he was determined not to waste what time he had. He needed to find out more about why the tower was so interested in him.